Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Do we have a great show for you? Lee Goldman is coming on at the bottom of the half hour. Lee is one of my heroes in medicine. He helped develop the algorithm, the process by which we evaluate preoperative patients, and said they were at risk for heart disease. This was a major advance way back in the 70s. Lee was at Mass General. At that time, I was at UCSF. We used a lot of his Goldman, so-called Goldman criteria, but he's not talking about that. He wrote a new book. He's now dean of the Faculty of Medicine at Columbia. I think that's his official title. I'll find out the official title in a few minutes and give it to you. But he's the dean of the medical school and is in charge of the hospital. It says he's dean of the faculties of health science and medicine at Columbia University. He's an internationally renowned cardiologist. But the key that he has done in this work is to talk about too much of a good thing, how four key survival traits that are inbred into our genes, the ones that help us, in fact, survive famines that we had, that is, we have genes that make us want to be hungry and eat and store fat, the genes that helped us maintain our blood pressure and our water, that is, that kept us eating a lot and drinking a lot, that is, have caused high blood pressure, the genes that make us alert enough so that we respond to the woolly mammoth, cause anxiety and depression, and the genes that allowed us to survive injury, that had us clotting early, allow us to, in fact, have heart attacks earlier. Well, he's got total solutions to this, or he has proposes how we've got to get around this problem. That one of those things is, we'll talk to him about those things that allow us to overcome too much of a good thing. So he is coming down. He's one of my heroes, a wonderfully interesting physician, but in addition, he describes difficult concepts with real true ability to convey important concepts easily, yet with scientific validity. So we'll talk to him about that. I also want to talk about the bad press. Bad press may make people stop your medication. So bad press about the diabetes drugs had people stopping those and developing worse diabetes. Bad press about statins is raising heart attack risk and getting people to stop taking a statin. Those who stopped were 26% more likely to have a heart attack, 18% more likely to die. If your cholesterol levels are high, your doctor might prescribe that statin, but a drug that blocks one of the enzymes in creating cholesterol is that statin drug, so you want it. But in the future, your doc might prescribe something that stops that doesn't technically target your body at all. Instead, it helps manipulate the bugs that are in your intestine. That is, this is tomorrow's heart drug might target those bugs and stop gut bacteria from making a chemical that causes arterial disease. In fact, that is what I consider the biggest story of the week, the one I got from Stan Hazen. And I'm titling that Drug the Bugs, and we'll come back to that in a little bit. That's going to be our major story in the second half, or the second quarter of this hour, meaning from 20 after to 30 after. We're going to talk about drugging the bugs, because it is drugging trimethylamines, and we'll come back to that. The data also are important that we'll cover is that obesity helps drive the trend. What do we mean by that? 43% of children who were obese had some form of abnormal cholesterol reading. that predisposes them to heart disease. So that's as opposed to 14% of normal weight children. Obesity is a disease, and we'll talk to how we're going to overcome that, because it is going to be a great problem in America. Another story we're going to talk about is canned fruits and vegetables. Are they as good as frozen or fresh? The answer is yes, maybe even better, because they're more available, but they aren't as good as frozen or fresh in nutrient quality. But they do help you improve your diet quality overall. You die when your immune system starts selecting new targets. This actually fits with how exercise helps us fight up colds. Well, exercise revs up your specific immune system. Why the flu shot is less effective for the elderly is the reverse of that. Researchers find that your immune cells, your NK cells and your monocytes, which are nonspecific. So you have specific cells and nonspecific immune cells. The nonspecific, for example, in your immune response might be your skin or your, if you will, some of your white cells that gobble up anything. Well, your skin protects you from invaders. The white cells, if the invader comes in, just gobble it up and send out a nonspecific symbol. Then you get, if the right white cells gobble them up, it sends a antibody or an antibody antigen response to other white cells called B and T cells, which attack your specific invaders specifically, and those specific invaders are what happens with the flu shot. When you get a flu shot, you build up immunity specifically against the flu virus. Well, that specific immunity is caused by your T and B cells. And what happens as you get older is they stop reacting specifically, and they react like any attack is coming. There's a non-specific response to any attack rather than the specific attack to, for example, the flu vaccine or to another invader. Well, when you stop responding specifically, that's what happens as you get older, and that's what happens. We can predict how soon you're going to die from the lack of a specific response in your immune system. So one of the keys is to exercise. In fact, exercising revs up your specific immune system. We think that's because exercise, if you will, gets rid of the fat in your cells so that you're not sedentary, and the inflammatory substance doesn't just go to your fat, but in fact your inflammatory things aren't created by your fat cells, but the specific fat targets, the specific immune targets rather, attack specific things. And that's how you know you're young, and that's how you know you're not going to die soon. So in fact, the problem is that inflammation can easily get out of hand, and when you have an injury, you want it to be specific attacking that inflammation. You want specifically to attack the invader rather than be a non-specific attack. When you get older, it's a non-specific attack instead of that specific attack. Also, we're going to talk about the story, sensors let the elderly age in place for twice as long. We're going to talk about it because it's at Tiger Place in Columbia, Missouri. We may not get to that till the second hour of the show. Again, at the bottom of the hour, we have an exciting guest. Don't go away. Lee Goldman. Too much of a good thing. He's going to tell us what we can do to overcome too much of a good thing. And we'll also talk about the other top medical news stories of the week on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well. We'll get right to the stories.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things, and it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Ever notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice? From your mother-in-law,
"Don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?"
To your own parents,
"You should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain."
To your friends,
"You have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using."
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
"Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?"
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. I promised when we came back that I wanted to talk about drugging the bugs. And let me go and take a few seconds to go back on the science on this, because it's really important. About 2.5 years ago, in March of 2013, Dr. Hazen, Stan Hazen from the Cleveland Clinic, where I work, so that's the disclaimer, at least I'll tell you that I'm prejudiced, came out with what I thought was perhaps the most landmark study of all. That is, we had known that eating red meat and egg yolks was bad for us. That is, increase your risk of heart disease in some people, in other people increases the risk of cancer, increases the risk of dementia, in almost everyone, that is, cognitive dysfunction. So we normally will have, as a person and as a family, and it may be there's a commonality there that I'll get into later, we either get heart disease or stroke or arterial diseases, or we get cancer, meaning either our immune system fails us by not attacking the cancers, or our arterial system fails us by having heart disease, stroke, memory loss, and so we usually, as physicians, focus on one or the other. But they may have a common background, and one of the things we knew is that eating red meat or egg yolks or butter or foods that largely had saturated fat associated with them were bad for us. And that's how the cholesterol hypothesis got so popular. But a lot of other people said, no, it wasn't just cholesterol, because the cholesterol in eggs and in saturated fat doesn't largely go to cholesterol. What it does is it turns on inflammation. And in some people, that inflammation leads to heart disease and stroke and memory loss and impotence and decay in orgasm quality. And in other people, it leads to cancers. And in almost everyone, it leads to cognitive dysfunction over time. So, obviously, you could avoid red meat or egg yolks, but no one really knew the cause of this. Well, Stan Hazen, brilliant work, identified what we think is one of the major causes of it, trimethylamine produced by the bacteria in your gut. That is, we've often talked about your microbiome, that's the bacteria on you and in you, and you have 100 trillion bacteria in and on you, outnumbers your own cells 10 to 1. And Stan Hazen found that if you have red meat or foods that have lecithin, choline, or carnitine, red meat, whether grass-fed or other, is carnitine. Pork has about half the carnitine per ounce as red meat. Some fish have, such as cod, and in this work he did, he found that cod and Chilean sea bass and tilapia have a lot of TMA in them, and I'll come back to that. So trimethylamine is the metabolite from the bacteria of carnitine, and trimethylamine gets into your body, causes you to produce trimethylamine oxide, which causes inflammation widespread. And he concentrated, Stan's a cardiologist, so he concentrated on the cardiovascular system, heart disease, stroke, and events such as that, arrhythmias, sudden deaths. And he found that the trimethylamine oxide, which you naturally produce in your liver, causes more heart disease and stroke, and is a greater associated cause of that and of those events than is having a blood pressure of 200 over 105, or is having a LDL cholesterol, where we try and get it under 100, but it's even greater risk than having your cholesterol of 260. That is a twice normal level of trimethylamine oxide. It also, those bacteria produce butyl-betaine, which increases the risk of, in fact, kidney failure and high blood pressure over time. So Stan Hazen, in this brilliant work this time, found, he said he worked on different enzymes that would stop the production of trimethylamine oxide. Well, obviously the one in your liver is the first one that converts trimethylamine to trimethylamine oxide. Unfortunately, when you do that, you smell like a dead fish. That is, trimethylamine that builds up smells very fishy, and in high enough concentrations makes you smell like a dead fish. No one wants to smell like that fishy or like a dead fish. So he said, let's not do that because it's not a practical therapy. But he did find out that a compound called DMB, and don't ask me to tell you what DMB stands for, but it is a compound that blocks the conversion in the bacteria from the carnitine to trimethylamine. And that blocking of that conversion decreased trimethylamine oxide and decreases the risk of heart disease in the animal models and in human models. So this is a major discovery. Now, where do you get the trimethylamine blocking substance, DMB? Well, maybe you can get it only in pill form, and just take it, not have it affect you, not be absorbed by you, and then, in fact, inhibit your production of trimethylamine oxide, won't inhibit the bacteria, won't change the bacteria, since they're after the carbon and hydrogen. So DMB, at least in the animal models, blocks this production. You can also get it, interestingly, from extra virgin olive oil. You need about four tablespoons a day, which is around 500 calories, so a quarter of your calories from extra virgin olive oil. He said some balsamic vinegar has in it, some red wine, but extra virgin olive oil that isn't oxidized, that is, isn't exposed to air, is the best kind. So don't have your extra virgin olive oil aerated to air, vented to air. Don't have one of those little dispensers that allows air in. So DMB is particularly hazardous to the bacteria, particularly helpful to you. In the animal models, it decreased heart attacks, it decreased strokes, and believe it or not, it also decreased cancers in those animal models that looked like they would develop cancer. So that is one of the tremendous advances. What can you do now? Well, you can avoid anything with carnitine, lecithin, and choline. And one of the things that Stan's work showed was that some fish, tilapia, cod, and Chilean sea bass, have very high levels of trimethylamine that you absorb and convert to that. So don't have those fish. Salmon, especially wild salmon, ocean trout were okay. But avoid animal protein. And we're going to talk to Lee Goldman about whether he thinks that's going to be a long-term solution, if we're going to be able to do that and change the culture enough to do that. When he comes on talking about, and please stay tuned, because this is a great book, Too Much of a Good Thing. It's actually interesting. I usually take notes on the books by writing in them. This is such a good book. I decided I was going to buy a number for gifts myself. It's a great book to give at holiday season, this season, because it is so wonderful and so easy to read. Lee Goldman's Too Much of a Good Thing, coming up shortly. But in the meantime, avoid red meat, avoid egg yolks, and avoid those fish I mentioned, and have more olive oil. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD, a show that helps you take control of your genes so you can live long.
Did you know your eyes have hidden connections to your overall health? The Eye Care Revolution, an easy-to-read analysis of vision and health by Dr. Robert Abel Jr., is an authoritative guide that explains natural and conventional methods to prevent and even reverse many common vision disorders like cataracts, glaucoma, dry eye, macular degeneration, and diabetes-related vision loss. From high-tech laser treatments to centuries-old Asian remedies, the Eye Care Revolution, with a foreword by Dr. Mehmet Oz, provides amazing nutrition traditional, herbal, homeopathic, and conventional methods to improve your eye health and overall health and wellness. Dr. Abel shares breakthrough information about eye strain, new developments in LASIK surgery, discusses how computers and texting are affecting our eyes, what you need to know about your children's eyes, the easy way to administer eye drops, antioxidant must-haves for your eyes, alternative therapies, and so much more. Order The Eye Care Revolution by Dr. Robert Abel Jr. on Amazon.com. That's The Eye Care Revolution.
I'll never get used to these 10-mile runs. They are taking so much time out of my day.
Are you training for a marathon or something?
Diabetes runs in my family, and I heard if you lose lots of weight, you can prevent it. So I started running like crazy, and I cut my calories big time.
Oh, get real. You don't have to knock yourself out to prevent diabetes. My doctor said it's the small lifestyle changes you make that matter, because it's easier to stick to them.
Wow, really?
It worked for me. 6 months ago, I started walking a lot and I stopped eating the fried stuff. I've lost 10 pounds. My doctor said I'm doing great.
I'll have to ask my doctor about this. I'd love to get my life back.
Talk to your healthcare provider. Losing a small amount of weight by being active 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier can prevent type 2 diabetes. To get your free game plan for preventing type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
Are you suffering from hidden allergy symptoms such as lack of focus and fatigue? How about bloating, joint pain, headaches, or anxiety? Hi, I'm Dr. Suzanne Bennett, natural allergy and wellness expert. I have condensed over 25 years of my clinical experience into my new book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, a simple program to eliminate allergies and restore vibrant health from the inside out. This book is for anyone who wants more energy, more mental clarity, a powerful body, and to live allergy-free. I am offering 4 free gifts when you order my book today through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. For more information, go to drsuzanne.com/book. Again, that is drsuzanne.com/book to jumpstart your healing today.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things, and it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me, so I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And I have the privilege of interviewing one of my idols in medicine. Lee Goldman, as I said, started at Mass General as a cardiologist and set the stage for all of us in anesthesia, critical care, and perioperative care, in developing a Goldman Index, which let us predict who was going to have or what the risk of heart disease was and heart attack after surgery was going to be, and got us to think about how to change that. Well, he's done something. He's had an illustrious career, but now he is the dean at Columbia Medical College of Physicians and Surgeons, and has come up with a book and really a very thought provoking and incredibly well-written book. If you need a holiday gift, this is a great one. Still, it's called Too Much of a Good Thing: How 4 Key Survival Traits Are Killing Us. So Lee, thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
Tell me, how did you How'd you decide to write this book? How did this book come about?
Well, I found that I was often in settings with family or friends where people would start talking about some of their health problems, especially things like why it was so hard for them to lose weight, or do they really need to take their blood pressure medications, or should they take an aspirin every day? And as I thought about my responses to them, I realized that a lot of what I was describing to them was the way our bodies were built. In essence, the genes that we all have, the same genes that helped our ancestors survive for 10,000 generations, and now are not always as well suited as they might be to the modern world. Simply put, as best we can tell, during the Paleolithic era, people lived to be about 33 years on average. In 1840 in Europe, people still lived to be about 33 years on average. All the expansion of life expectancy, now it's about 2.5 times longer than that, has happened really since about 1850. The Industrial Revolution, transportation, plentiful food, lots of salt, all these things have fundamentally changed our living conditions, and now we're finding that we're in a situation in which the same genes that protected our ancestors are the ones that are making us sick, especially in adulthood.
And one of the things that you must get asked then, since you were talking about aspirin and statins, and you do this very well I just want to tell the listeners, this is a outstanding book. I mean, I can't think of a book that I wanted to read as I started reading it, and I try and read half at least of each book that we cover each week, but I wanted to read every page and every word and twice, not only for the incredible insights, but it's so well written. It's a just outstanding book, Lee.
Thank you very much.
One of the things that you come to is, at least I come to, is it seemed to me that there was a push towards how we can outsmart the genes we have. You go through a lot of things and how difficult that is. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you came to.
Sure. Well, the first conclusion I came to is that our genes are unlikely to change fast enough to solve the problems that we have. And the problems I talk about in the book are, one, we're built to eat whenever food is available, to gorge in case we won't get food tomorrow, and to store the excess as fat. And that's why 38% of Americans are obese, and about 14% have diabetes. We love salt. Salt was critical for us throughout our survival. During the Roman era, salt was more valuable than gold. Just the word salary, the way Roman soldiers were paid, comes from the word sal, or salt. We needed salt so we wouldn't get dehydrated. And our major reason for that is our best attribute through the Paleolithic era was probably our endurance, our ability to walk and run long distances farther than the other animal, because we're the best animal of all at sweating, and therefore we could exercise more without becoming overheated. At the other end of the spectrum, if you take a cheetah, put it on a treadmill, it'll run for a mile faster than the other animal, but then its temperature will go up to about 107 degrees, so it'll have to lie down because it is overheated. Third trait I talk about in the book is anxiety and depression, and those are natural outgrowths of the fear and worry that our ancestors need in order to survive in a very hostile world. Now, we're oftentimes more fearful than we need to be. This is actually the safest time probably in the history of humanity. We still have all these traits that make us fearful, anxious, and when we lose a battle, withdraw and to at least potentially become depressed. And finally, I talk about clotting, whether it was all those injuries in the old days or just the simple trauma of childbirth. We had to be able to clot so we didn't bleed to death. It's a terrific protective trait, but now the two of the four or five leading causes of death in America are heart attacks and strokes caused by clots in the coronary arteries and the arteries to the brain. The problem is these traits won't change quickly because even though they're now often deleterious, they don't kill us till after we have kids who have kids, and so there's no selection pressure. So we can't expect these will go away through natural selection, if you will. I also talk about the possibility that we can just change our behaviors, eat less, for example. And it's easy to think about dieting, and many of us often try, But it's really hard, and part of it's our genes. If we try to lose weight, a whole variety of hormones kick in and make us hungrier. They slow down our metabolism. And both of those make it harder for us to lose weight. So it's not easy to change these behaviors, and a lot of these behaviors shouldn't be looked at as moral weaknesses, but rather just as the way we're built. So what I talk about in the book is not very perhaps politically correct. It's not what people often want to hear, but it suggests that a lot of these traits can only be reversed or blunted by looking toward modern science. The best example I talk about in the book is high blood pressure. A third of Americans have high blood pressure. It's built into our genes. It's driven by our desire for salt. Too much salt raises our blood pressure. But when someone would come to me and say, gee, doc, I've got high blood pressure. Can't I just exercise more and change my diet? I would say, well, you can change a little bit, but the odds are overwhelming you're going to need medications. The best way to treat high blood pressure is medications, and people are rarely successful by lifestyle changes because by the time the blood pressure is high enough to warrant potential treatment, there's no real lifestyle change you can make that will reliably lower your blood pressure. So what I talk about in the book are ways that we can look toward modern science and by understanding what it is that drives some of these problems. And an example I give, it talked about cholesterol and statins. There's a very interesting epidemiologic study called the Dallas Heart Study, where they looked at a multi-ethnic population. They measured pretty much everything in everybody. And they found a woman whose LDL cholesterol was 14. Now, as I'm sure your listeners know, anything under 120 is pretty good. Under 110, 100 or so is usually considered more than good enough. For someone who's had a heart attack, you try to get down to 70 or 50, but 14, no one ever really seen 14. Turns out this woman was missing both copies of a gene that essentially all of us have, called the PCSK9 gene. And without either copy of that gene, her cholesterol level was 14. You might think she'd be sick, there'd be something wrong with her. You need cholesterol to make every cell membrane in your body. She's perfectly healthy, perfectly healthy. And what that really indicates is here's one example of a gene that we just don't need anymore.
So now let's go and flip when we come back. Let's talk about clotting and the therapies for that, and some of the therapies for anxiety, and if there are things we can do to run around those, such as aspirin or such as statins or such as something to increase our dopamine level. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Lee Goldman. The book that he's written is a sensational book, Too Much of a Good Thing. Talks about the four genes we have in we can't control right now that cause us excess problems, the survival traits that are killing us. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and this product is not intended to diagnose, cure, treat, or prevent any disease.
Awaken your mind with Exact, a new dietary supplement designed to help you gain a mental edge. Exact fuels your natural brain chemicals to unleash mental energy and stamina, providing the intense focus and drive you need to initiate important tasks and push through challenges. With Exact, you can think smarter, faster, and stronger because Exact supports faster reaction time and memory recall with improved problem-solving skill and accuracy. Exact contains ingredients from traditional Chinese medicine and Indian Ayurvedic medicine. No synthetic drugs or chemicals. Exact is created from herbs that have been safely used by healers for thousands of years. Experience a new kind of energy, mental energy, and get the focus and breakthrough mental edge you need to succeed with Exact. Learn more about the science behind Exact, see what customers are saying, and try Exact 100% risk-free at ExactMind.com. That's the letter X, ACTMind.com. ExactMind.com.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Whenever we talk about cancer, we always use the same word, someday. Someday there'll be a cure. Someday we won't lose the people we love. But when is someday? Someday is today. Thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, hundreds of thousands diagnosed with blood cancer are today living a normal life. In the past 12 years, half the cancer therapies approved by the FDA were first approved for blood cancer patients, many with research supported by LLS. We are on the brink of life-changing breakthroughs. You can make these happen sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. Help us make cures happen. Help us reach today sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
And now, back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're talking with Dr. Lee Goldman, and I'm hurrying now because this is a sensational book he's written, Too Much of a Good Thing. If I was going to buy only one book to give to someone who's really interested in health or who has any interest in health, it would be this book this Christmas. Too Much of a Good Thing, How Four Key Survival Traits Are Killing Us. We have, by the way, as you know, you can always send us emails, questions at udocs, y-o-u-d-o-c-s at gmail.com, y-o-u-d-o-c-s at gmail.com, or call in 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800. So, Lee, we have two questions, both from women over the age of 50, and they both are about statins and aspirin, and they're saying, is should everybody be taking a statin, and should everybody be taking aspirin to control our genes?
Well, two really good questions. I think the answer to both is probably no, but let me explain a little bit more. Statins, I believe, are actually really outstanding medications. Obviously, some people have side effects to them, but most don't. And with statins, one can get the LDL cholesterol level down in ways that are extremely difficult, if not impossible, to do with changes in diet. And there's lots of evidence to that extent. Age 50 is kind of young to start worrying that much about it. But one can make a case, certainly, that if the LDL is above 120, or 140, to try to bring it down. But I would not say that everybody should be on a statin, keeping in mind also that women tend to get heart disease about 10 years later than men, so women in their 50s are not a particularly high risk, all the things being equal. I'd also say that the benefit of statins is higher on a absolute basis if you have other cardiac risk factors, including high blood pressure or diabetes or a strong family history. In terms of aspirin, the general message would be no. Anybody who has heart disease clearly benefits from aspirin. In men without heart disease but over the age of about 50, it becomes a close call. In women, it wouldn't become a close call until at least age 60 or 65. And the problem with aspirin is that even though it's probably almost certainly beneficial in terms of reducing heart attacks, it's not overall beneficial in the big randomized trials because it does cause some people to bleed. It would be a lot better if we had a medication that could thin your blood but didn't also irritate your stomach and intestines and directly cause some degree of bleeding. So my answer to the first would be a close call. My answer to the second for a woman in her 50s would be not yet.
Now, the questioner says, but aspirin also decreases cancers. And what about the two together? And then if not these, what should we do about these genetic changes? How do you think we're going to, as a country, control them before we ruin our society?
Sure. So again, I'm really basing this on the large randomized trials, and low-dose aspirin does reduce the risk of some cancers, but if you look at the total blend of the benefits and risks, these risks in terms of gastrointestinal bleeding are, in my mind, what makes it not something that I would recommend lightly. And as I said, for me at least, a close call in men over 50 or 60, but usually not in women until a later age than that. I think that exercise, getting the LDL cholesterol down, making sure your blood pressure is well controlled, certainly not smoking, those are the key things that people can control. Keeping your weight down, at least to the extent that being overweight leads to diabetes, also very important.
So how are we as a country? We've obviously 33% of us are obese, 33% of us are overweight in addition to that. So we've got a real problem. How are we going, and you point out that our genes make us hungry, make us want to eat, if you will. How do we get to the problem? How do we, what's the solution for this?
Well, as you say, the disappointing aspect right now is that overall, as a country, we are, in many ways, losing the battle. But it's, in some ways, it's a tale of at least two cities or two different parts of the population. Strikingly, people who live in more affluent parts of the country, places like Marin County, California, live as long as people anywhere in the world, whereas people in some parts of West Virginia, Kentucky, they live as long as people in Bangladesh. Our problem right now is that some people are doing all the right things, and even if they are overweight, they're able to control these other risk factors by taking blood pressure medications, taking statins, etc. There's a large part of the population that is suffering from these same now adverse genes, but is not responding by keeping these risk factors under control. In those parts of the country, life expectancy is actually going down, not up. That's what worries me, is these huge disparities that we're now seeing in America.
And how do we, but in other words, if some of the solutions you propose on taxing and taking financial incentives have seemed to have worked for cigarettes, they aren't going to work they're much tougher to work for obesity.
They're much tougher. I think it would be wonderful if we could get everyone to respond to things like that. There have been some successes. In Britain, people have been very successful in reducing salt intake by regulating the food industry. In Japan, people are actually forced to do remedial work if their waists are too big. So there have been population-wide changes like that, and we certainly could benefit from those. I mean, we're now seeing efforts to reduce or at least label salt in foods, reduce the salt, the content of foods, show people the calorie content of foods. All those things help a bit. But I guess my point, and this, I think, Mike, gets to what you were saying before, is that the odds are that many people, despite their best efforts, will still have high blood pressure, high cholesterol levels. And for them, using medications is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of common sense to try to get these risk factors under better control.
And for the country as a whole, in other words, the obesity problem is creeping, is doing more than creeping up on us. It's causing us problems, financially and otherwise. What I come to is there's no easy solution to it.
There's no easy solution at all.
Well, I want to recommend people. This is a really incredibly well-written book. It is. It just comes to the points, and it gets it, and it really covers it very well. And there's a great section on potential solutions and the hopes for the future in essentially outwitting our genes and how to do that. We're going to leave that for you to read it. Lee Goldman's book, Too Much of a Good Thing. Too Much of a Good Thing, How Four Key Survival Traits Are Killing Us, written beautifully with great scientific rigor. Lee, thanks very much for being on. And great luck with the book.
Pleasure.
We'll be right back with the second hour of You, the Owner's Manual,